kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself, but we pray in this petition that it may come also unto us. What I'm about to say to you, I want you to take very seriously, but I also want to caution you not to take it too seriously. What I want all of us to understand this morning as we reflect on the second petition of our Lord's Prayer, and not just to those of us who are being placed today, but all of us, is that when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," knowing that we are already a part of his kingdom, we are praying ourselves into a very big job, especially as we have been called to serve in that kingdom. And the fact is that all of us have been called to serve into that kingdom, and all of us pray this petition frequently. And so we stop to think about it today. Dr. Martin Luther, in his large catechism, says that in this petition we pray that the kingdom may prevail among us and with us, so that we may be a part of those among whom his name is hallowed and his kingdom flourishes. Yesterday in this chapel, Dr. Burrison pointed us again to Samuel's call, a call which we also heard on Sunday. And as he pointed it to us, he pointed out to us how it relates to our call into the kingdom. He especially pointed us to the fact that having been called into the kingdom, there is no longer any place for self or for self-interests, as we are called to love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And finally, then, we were reminded to be faithful servants of God's word, as we heard again, 1 Samuel 3:19-20. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Daniel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And so today we come to the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." Here we pray that that kingdom may, as Luther says, prevail among us, and that as it prevails among us, we may learn to serve that kingdom faithfully, especially as we have been called into the pastoral office or to other offices in the church, as we preach the word in season and out of season. Now that's the part we need to take seriously, that we are called to serve the kingdom faithfully as we preach his word in season and out of season. It's serious business. It's kingdom business. It's the king's business, which means that it's also joyful business as it reaps eternal consequences. Listen again to Luther. What is the kingdom of God? Simply what we heard in the Creed, namely that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, into the world to redeem and deliver us from the power of the devil, to bring us to himself, to rule as King of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and evil conscience. To this end, he also gave his Holy Spirit, to deliver this to us through his holy word, and to enlighten and strengthen us in faith by his power. And what that does, I believe, is points us to the part that we dare not take too seriously, the part that we play in making the kingdom come. Yes, we are all called to preach his word and to proclaim his mighty acts. Yes, we have been made servants of this new covenant established in Jesus Christ. And yes, we have been sent to all the world to preach the good news of the kingdom and make disciples of all nations. But even as we do that, it is not our work. And that points, Luther says, he gave us his Holy Spirit to deliver this to us through his holy word and to enlighten and strengthen us in faith by his power. We have come to this place, Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, to learn and to study. Some full-time, some visit from time to time and study full-time in other places. We've come to be pastors and deaconesses and teachers and theologians and friends and family of the same. And yet, as we learn and as we grow, and as we leave this place to proclaim the kingdom of God to a world so direly in need of it, we remember that it is never our own doing. Not our coming, not our going, not our proclaiming, not our living, not our sharing, not anything we do in the kingdom. When the kingdom comes, it comes, even without our prayer. It is God's word and God's spirit who do the work, not us. And it is just because of that that we can pray with confidence, "Thy kingdom come," knowing that it comes indeed without our prayer. And then we can rejoice because we know that our prayer is already answered. It is also because of God's word and spirit that we seek to fulfill the Savior's call then to make disciples of all nations, Germans, Swedes, Sudanese, Noor, Lebanese, African, American, Hispanic, whatever. And as we do, we become the vessels through whom God's kingdom comes. So in the years ahead, as we continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come," and as you live and as you serve in the kingdom of our Christ, take it seriously. It will come, and you will be his agent. But don't take yourself or your work too seriously. It is the kingdom that comes, and the king that gets the glory, not us. The psalmist said it this way in our psalm this morning: "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Were I to speak and tell of your mighty wonders, they would be too many to declare." May God grant us the grace to be his servants. In Jesus' name, amen.